Okay, now I do it.
Hi, welcome to the Big Book Awakening teleconference meeting in the UK on the 1st of April. My name is Judith and I'm a compulsive overeater and I'm currently working the steps using the Big Book Awakening approach. I'm your moderator for today's meeting. Let's take a moment of silence to remember why we're here, to give thanks to all those who've come before us in our recovery lineage. We'll take a minute of quiet time. Okay, if you're not sharing, please mute yourself by clicking on the mute icon on your screen, or if you're on phone, star 6, you can press the microphone on your handset to minimize the noise on our meeting line. Unmute if you need to share by clicking your computer icon or star 6 again. As the moderator, I may sometimes mute people if I hear noise on the line. Would you like to share, if you'd like to unmute, or you can say this in your own space, we'd like to start and open with the third step prayer. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thy will. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those. I'd help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. This Big Book Awakening UK teleconference meeting is open to all 12-step programs from anywhere in the world. The Big Book Awakening process supports us to practice the precise directions in the Big Book of AA as a means of deepening our recovery. To keep the meeting focused, we kindly ask that only those who are working with the Big Book Awakening process are currently sober from their physical craving, share their experience in the first half of the meeting. All are welcome to listen and anyone can pose questions in the third part of the meeting. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the precise directions for working the steps as described in the first 103 pages of the Big Book using the Big Book Awakening Guide. Our meeting is set up in three parts. First, we begin by having a speaker share for 20 minutes. Part 2, at 7:30 Greenwich Mean Time, we open the meeting up for general sharing by those who have worked the Big Book Awakening process up to that topic or step. And the third part, at 10 to 8, we have a crossfire meeting for 20 minutes, and that's the time anyone can ask a question or share on this part of the book. Sharing, reminder to stay on topic, please. If you have questions unrelated to the topic, you can stay afterwards or contact someone from our meeting. Our members are always happy to answer questions. But before we continue, just be sure, no, everybody's looking really well muted tonight. If not, I would mute people. Let's see. So tonight, it's my pleasure to introduce Evie, who's going to speak on the second half of There Is a Solution, starting on pages 23 through 29. I believe that's right, Evie. Is that correct?
Yep.
Fabulous. Would you like me to give you a 5-minute heads up?
Yeah, that would be good. Thank you.
All right.
And if my microphone goes a bit weird or my internet, just let me know.
Will do. I will do. Welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Hi. My name's Evie, compulsive eater, anorectic. Also doing the steps. Just started them with Al-Anon, I kind of have to admit, I kind of feel like a kid who hasn't done its homework. Like, I thought I had more time before the meeting and suddenly I was like, oh my gosh, but I have gone over There Is a Solution. That's probably within the Chaos Creati step one that I'm in and time management thing. But had some time to pray quickly and there's a bit in this part that I really love, but I'll get to that later and sort of go through it. The mental obsession, and what I really got from this part initially was when it really clicks, when I really get it on a deep, deep level, once I know what I'm up against, and I start to see it, you know, from, I think I did from this point onwards, yes, the physical allergy, but it was like, as it says here, you know, these observations would be academic and pointless if our friend never took the first drink, compulsive behavior, whatever it may be. So setting the terrible cycle in motion. So I can see with the allergy, like if my problem was an allergy, I would just have to avoid the allergy like everybody else in the world who has an allergy to things. But from here onwards, I really got to see that, you know, what step one eventually leads me to see, that there is no fight. There is no fight against this. There is no, when I see the enormity of what I'm dealing with a state of consciousness, a level of consciousness, which I myself cannot get me out of by my own power, like by my own forcing it to happen. It has to only be an act of surrender. Like there is no fixing it. And when I see that it centers in my mind rather than my body, like it says, whatever I think, it just clicks. Whatever I think, cannot combat it, because I can't combat it from the level that I'm at. I can't combat it from the source. You know, it's all around me. It is my mind. So I think the first release for me, and there is a solution, is just the fact that I can't do, you know, I have to surrender. I can't do it. There is a solution, but the solution isn't me. So it becomes really clear from the get-go. I'm just looking at the bits that I've highlighted. So it says on 24, he passes into a state where the most powerful desire to stop is of absolutely no avail. And I think that's the place where all of us stop working, that probably all of us on this call would know, where there is the largest desire to stop what we're doing, the biggest wish to not do these behaviours anymore, like the sweet spot has gone long ago, and the biggest desire will still not fix this. It has to take something. Yeah, something bigger. So it's talking about losing power and being without defense, and the bit in italics on 24. And when I see I have no defense, for me it's almost like, yeah, the solution is the relief that all of these efforts, that all of these things, actually, no, I cannot run up against it. But yes, there is a solution if I just stop trying, if I stop trying to handle this thing. And I think up until this point, you know, I'm going through a sort of first half of step one myself in another area at the moment, and I think you feel so beaten by the time you get up to this point, that, or I did anyway, that, yeah, I'm just nodding along to this whole paragraph. And as an addict, you know, it says at the bottom, may die or go permanently insane, which is a horrible prospect to be faced with. But if I see it as, you know, like on the same par as the level of cancer and illnesses like that, which I take very seriously, or anyone would, that the options look really bleak. It's you know, it's remedy or death, or, you know, any other fatal illness that I can think of that threatens that, and my options are pretty slim. And with addiction, it's the same to me, that with with it is the option to grow spiritually. There is a solution to grow spiritually beyond this point, or to go permanently insane or die. That's the options. And I tell this to sponsees because, not because I'm trying to be bleak, but because that's the reality, or not because I'm trying to convince anyone or shock anyone into doing it. That's the reality as I've found it, and I can see where addiction takes me to. I see that energy of like complete going on until the bitter end, like slow suicide. And now I'm really grateful for that, because I realize what a joy spiritual work, like how it keeps opening. But at the time, that's really that's really rubbish. I found that really rubbish options to have, especially when I was like, I came into the rooms when I was 18, and eight years ago now, and I thought, as a like real atheist as well, and it wasn't very cool probably at the time to believe in God, and the option of God or die was like not one that I would take without actually almost experiencing my own death, you know, realizing that that was the reality. So it takes a lot to crack down the ego, but I find that it's been amazing, because I guess some people have the option to grow spiritually, but just as addicts you get a like firm kick into growing spiritually. But it's a beautiful journey, I realize, the more I go along. So yeah, back to there is a solution. This is one of the examples of a solution, a simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. So laid at our feet, it means it's immediate, it means I can pick it up straight away. In fact, it's in the book. And it's simple and it's right there. Whether I use it or not is another thing, because the nature of my addiction, as I see, is like it's self-destructive. I'm probably not going to want to do the thing. It's actually the opposite of life-affirming. So I had huge resistance to the steps when I first came, and I had huge resistance to the things, huge resistance to self-care. Like everything, it's like my energies are totally reversed. Like I have resistance to what is actually going to keep me well. So that's why having sponsors, guides, being in the energy of meetings is so important, you know, the circle and the triangle, because if I'm not within that energy and I'm not connecting, probably quite likely my head's going to convince me otherwise, convince me that it's a bad idea, that the steps are too hard, that there isn't actually a solution, everyone's lying. That was one that like came up for me big time. Everyone's not grateful, they're all lying. It's an echo chamber. You know, that's all going to come up, because I really see the intention, not the intention of this illness, it's not a thing, it's not anything like that, it's just the energy and the reality of it as an illness. Is going towards that negative spiral. So that's why there is no middle of the road solution, like it says. So if I'm beyond human aid, there's no middle of the road solution. It is full on growing spiritually or leaving it behind. And that's, for me, what I found is the only way to work. I can't kind of like meander through. And I kind of wish I could say otherwise, because I'm a people pleaser and I really want like everyone to tell people like the nice digestible, you know, especially when I'm sponsoring, I've realized I've sometimes wanted to be like, oh, don't be so dramatic, like all of this, but it's within my experience. I'm not, you know, I can't, going through what I went through, I cannot be, I cannot talk it down. I can't talk down the illness, and I can't talk down the solution, because I've seen and experienced firsthand how deadly it is, but also how powerful the solution is. So I just can't do it injustice by making it seem halfway there. Okay, and it also talks about in describing the solution, when we get to this point and we're given the first little bit of hope, really, like in the first time of the book, apart from Bill's story at the end, that it says that we remain willing to maintain a certain simple attitude. Again, it uses the word simple, as a simple kit of spiritual tools. And I feel like laying this word simple is quite good, because if they were like, it's this really complex, intricate 12-step thing that, I straight away would have been like, I don't have the energy to do it. Like, when I'm powerless, I just need something that's simple and it works. And so there's a certain attitude and there's certain tools, and that I know from this chapter. And though they're simple, they're going to have to be practiced, because probably from reading up until this point, there's a little bit of noise in the background. I'm not sure if anyone's off me. But yeah, probably up until this point, I know that I don't have a simple attitude. I know that my attitude is very much a destructive one. And I know that the tools that I've been using, my tools, aren't very simple. So both of those things need to be revised. And the bit that I really wanted to get to, I'm sort of coming up to it now, is on page 28. And it said, we in turn sought the same escape with all the desperation of drowning men and women. So, and then what at first seemed like a flimsy reed is proven to be the loving and powerful hand of God. Yeah, so this bit to me, I don't know, I'm just always so drawn to it, and my experience on this is just blowing my mind all the time about what seemed like a flimsy reed, because at the start things really did feel like a flimsy reed, and I had to do a lot of acting as if, and that was just the reality of it. It just seemed such a flimsy, weak connection that I didn't know how I could rely on it, but I didn't have any other option. And now that power, like, I can't describe how, almost like a tool being more attuned, like, I can't describe the power of intuition that's being more and more and more refined and attuned and tangible. I never thought that would happen. But the desperation of drowning men, this is also when I'm sponsoring and when I'm going through the work myself. This is kind of for me, and this is the point where I reached a bottom and really wanted to recover. I had the desperation of a drowning man, and I don't know if it would have happened if I had the kind of want of a, comfortable person or slightly in discomfort, I think I really needed that desperation, because I reached a point where I wanted sanity more than I wanted freedom, more than I cared about the food, and the food was a big thing, just terrorized my life. I wanted sanity more than I wanted to control my food, to control things. That's the point that I'm at now. I know I want sanity, whatever that looks like. I don't care. I've got no exceptions anymore. I'm done with bargaining. I want that more than anything else. I haven't got an option. Like, when I'm drowning, I don't have an option about which life raft I use. I'm just like, I just want to live. So that is my option. And I want sanity and I want life over anything else. And with that, and when I knew that in my heart, things really shifted. Things really, really shifted. And coming from the other side of it with sponsorship, I'm seeing that that's when the magic happens. That's when the sort of magic combination, like, you don't even feel like you're working with someone. It feels like you're both just so held and so lifted, and the willingness is there, and it's amazing. And with that desperation and that surrender, that flimsy reed at that moment does turn into the loving and powerful hand of God. It really does. It really, really does. Because I was at one stage going to atheist groups to try and avoid, they do exist, 12-step groups, to try and avoid the solution to be spiritual, basically. And with grasping onto that flimsy reed as well, it's never let me down, like, never let me down. Surrendering surrendering in my deepest heart has never let me down. And I'm saying this out loud now because I need to say it to myself, because I'm doing a step one again and I know it's not going to let me down, but I know that what I have to do first is just let go completely. To let go completely. So
5 more minutes.
I think, okay, great. So that bit in there is a solution for me, just keeps coming in my head at the moment, because I feel like there's such a loving and powerful hand guiding me, and it's what led me to BBI. Every time I've been at a place of needing to go deeper into this work, of needing a solution deeper than what I have today, not even just to get me out of the round of addiction, but deeper than what I have today, I have just prayed with the desperation of a drowning man, because there being no other option, and also because I know it works. And when I first got to BBI, I'd gone through the steps. I was being swamped. I was abstinent, but I was being swamped by fear. And I was just like, there has to be another solution. There has to be. And I said, if there is something that's loving and all powerful, please just show me what I have to do. And all these little tiny events happened that I was being nudged towards, didn't know why I was nudged towards them. And I got put in touch with the BBA sponsor. And then the second time around, my chaos-creating Al-Anon codependency was just crippling me. I didn't know what to do, but I said, there's something wrong. I don't know what it is, but I want to grow past it. Please show me where to go. And that loving, powerful hand, again, nudge, nudge, nudge. And then suddenly I'm just in touch with the most amazing sponsor and guide again through the steps, that both times I have been held to the point of, until I'm through into sanity and recovery and more connection. And I feel immensely grateful. I feel immensely grateful that there is a solution, and that this is the pivotal point where either I reach out for something, or, you know, I go on with my own ideas, my own thinking, which if my problem is based in my mind, we'll just carry on with the same spiral. I think I'll leave it there. And let other people speak.
Thank you, Evie. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you being willing to share with us. Excellent stuff, and lots for everybody to ponder. Thank you so much. Give me 1 second, everybody, while I stop and save.